Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
That, of course, is our guy, What Up Cal, who put that together with us. Kind of, LZ, you may have a better sense of what it feels like. It was at the beginning of the quarantine, right? So it's been nearly 3 months. I know that we were going to wait until the end of the quarantine to get a new one, but it might be time.
I think it is time. Actually, when I was listening to it, I felt like it was dated. You know, we don't have any shout out to no babies that have been born since then. You know, we have no shout outs to the protesters in the streets. So I think we need to have Cal update our song to fit where we are today and not keep talking about yesterday.
There you go, Cal. You have you've been requested to put together a new song for us here on the morning show. Let's go back real quick, LZ. Let's go back and take a listen to what Roger Goodell said last Friday when, really for the first time, the NFL said, you know what, we had it wrong from a few years ago, and we'd like to do better moving forward. Here's the commissioner of the NFL.
It has been a difficult time for our country, in particular, black people in our country. First, my condolences to the families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and all the families who have endured police brutality. We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. We, the National Football League, believe black lives matter. I personally protest with you and want to be part of the much-needed change in this country. Without black players, there would be no National Football League. And the protests around the country are emblematic of the centuries of silence, inequality, and oppression of black players, coaches, fans, and staff. We are listening. I am listening. And I will be reaching out to players who have raised their voices and others on how we can improve and go forward for a better and more united NFL family.
Okay, so the quote inside of that, LZ, that's particularly interesting to me, is we were wrong not to listen to NFL players. He doesn't say who. And obviously there was more than one, but the one who really started this conversation several years ago was Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick not mentioned by name in that statement. Now, you mentioned it yesterday. Maybe there's a legal reason why he could not mention him by name, but his absence was conspicuous. And you wonder if by not saying his name, it means that there is still no future for Colin Kaepernick in the NFL, or whether or not by the time we get to the start of the season here in a couple of months, Colin Kaepernick is back in the league after 4 years on the outside.
Listen, I've said it once and I'm going to keep saying it because I so desperately need to give this man the benefit of the doubt. And that is, he knows how bad it would have been not to mention Colin Kaepernick's name in this apology, if you will. So I'm going to assume that he couldn't because of legal reasons, and not because he is so stupid as to think we wouldn't notice that Colin's name was missing in mm-hmm. that conversation he was having with us. So I'm going to assume that. But then that puts me in two places, Travis, that both lead to zero. Number one is, if he isn't able to say the man's name, then why is the league able to employ him? Is it null and void if he becomes employed? Like, I need to understand that logistics. And then on the flip side is, if he consciously left his name out of this conversation, why would he consciously advocate to bring him back into the fold? So no matter how I slice it, I'm ending up at a zero as far as his leadership is concerned. But even with all that being said, if there were to be an owner with enough gravitas to say, I'm not just going to hire him because what we did to him as a league was wrong, but I'm also going to hire him because I need what he does. Mm-hmm. That's a good quarterback, man. That's a good quarterback. And he's still young. And it's true, he hasn't played in 3 years, 4 years, but he also hasn't been hit in 3 and 4 years. And so whatever nagging injuries that we remember from his last season with his shoulder and trying to get his strength built back up, all that's gone. That's a fresh, able body that's available, that has already proven, that led a team to the freaking Super Bowl. So if you need a QB, and I'm looking at you, New England, and you have an owner that has some investments in the space of social justice, I'm looking at you, New England, then there's no reason why you wouldn't give him an opportunity to try. No one's saying give out a handout. No one wants a damn handout. Well, actually, if you want to give me $1 million, Mr. Kraft, I'm going to take it.
Yeah, I'm not going to say no.
I'm not going to say no. I'm not so stupid to let my pride keep $1 million out of my pocket. But as far as Collins concerned, I've never heard anything in terms of him just looking for someone to give him a job. What he wanted was a shot to prove himself. And they didn't even grant him that. And we got the damn Peter man out there running around throwing interceptions as we speak.
Well, LZ, I mean, let's think about what a black ball means, right? A black ball is not just, I don't want him on my team. A black ball is none of us can put this man on our teams. That is a collective decision not to put him on any of the rosters. Because, like you said, there is really no argument to be made that he's not good enough to have one of those jobs. So that's just out the window. We're done with that. The man was the quarterback of a Super Bowl team, and then fast forward a couple years later, he's out of the league as a young man. Stop. There obviously was a collective decision that we're not gonna have him be a part of our league. So with this apology, does that mean that, you know, I don't expect that this is written down on a memo anywhere, but does this mean that, hey, look, guys, we're cool. If you think he can help you, go get him right now. Or is it still, you know, we're going to issue this statement, and this is the fear that I've had when we've talked about this issue 100 different ways, is that you can talk, you can say the right thing, you can see that, okay, these are the sorts of apologies that are hitting people right. These are the sorts of words that you have to have in your apology to hit people right. But we're actually not going to do anything. And I just wonder if that's not what this is, that we're going to say, we're going to listen. We're going to say we had it wrong before. We're going to say all of the things that we'd like to hear these leagues say. But when it comes time to actually giving that guy a job and saying, you know, not only did we get it wrong, but we got it really wrong with you, Colin Kaepernick. Come on back in. Go ahead and play in this league. And that's the part that I'm not sure about. They're going to say and make sure that it looks right. But if that guy's still in the street, how right is it?
It's not right. If that guy is still in the street, it simply is not right. We watched him sign guys as backups who had never thrown a pass in the National Football League, coming from inferior leagues, who had never played. And they were able to secure contracts without even being seen. And here you had this guy out there just waiting for, not a handout, mind you, but an opportunity. So I think for a lot of people, and myself included, not presenting him with the same opportunities that everyone else that wants to be a quarterback in the football, in the National Football League, makes your little statement and your little video hollow as hell. It just does. And while it is true that they can bring a man and say, he didn't look right, and boot him out, they can do that. And it certainly looked like that's what they were trying to do with that fake little workout before, where they want to control all of the footage and be in control of who sees it and no reporters and all that other BS in the contract. You know, they can certainly set it up to make it seem as if he is falling off and can't play anymore. But we all know that's not true. We know that's not true. So it's like either thing or just shut up.
Well, you can almost hear it. You can almost hear it coming.
Pretending.
You can almost hear it coming, Ozzy, that look, you know, we'd love to have Colin Kaepernick on our team. He's a great football player, but we just don't have a spot for him right now. Look, I mean, Cam Newton's on the street. If Cam Newton can't find a job, it's obviously a matter of not whether or not he's good enough, but just vacancies and spots available to go. That's the the song that they're going to sing, that they're all going to say that they love Colin Kaepernick, that he absolutely deserves to be in the league, that he absolutely is one of the best players available, but he can't come here. I mean, we just drafted this guy, or we just signed this guy to a deal, or we've decided that, you know, this guy is a better fit for what we're trying to do. And you could just see all 32 teams collectively making that sort of argument in one way or another and just say, well, like, Cam's still looking for a job, so Colin Kaepernick isn't out of work because he's been blackballed and we haven't changed the way we feel about it. It's just a matter of, you know, supply and demand. And right now the supply outweighs the demand. So he's going to have to wait. I can hear that being said right now, months before it's actually being said.
Can you hear what I'm saying? And I won't be the only one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the calculus of this is really simple. If you don't at least present an opportunity for him to show what he can do, then you're going to be continuing to be haunted by his presence. And we know this to be true because they're currently haunted by his presence because they didn't give him an opportunity. If you gave him the opportunity and he makes a team through his own, you know, efforts, even if he plays, guess what goes away? All of that. All of that. All of the LZs and the Travises and the Keyshawns, you know, all of the, you know, Marcellus Wiley's, like all of the commentators who are asking what's going on with this, we're no longer asking you that question repeatedly. You're no longer being dogged by that question. But if you simply give him a chance, and yeah, you're going to have pushback from people, but what you're not going to have are questions about whether or not you're a racist league. That's what you won't have anymore. That, to me, is a win scenario if you're the NFL from a public relations standpoint. Get rid of that whole question about whether or not you're a league full of racists and that you blackball this guy and that you're not for standing up for freedom and that you're not for, you know, get rid of all of that by just allowing him to have an opportunity to prove himself as a player.
It's got to play out because here's the other part of this too, LZ. As we get further and further away from the last time he played in the league, more and more people are going to try to say, look, yeah, he got a raw deal. Yeah, the league was wrong. Yes, he should have never had to go through what he went through. But he's been out of the league 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, whatever the number is. And at that point, we've done what we've done before. And we're changing the subject. We're changing the reason why he's not in there. And I mean, it's been a while, to your point, rust, and he's healthy and all that. But if you've been out of the league for a long time and somebody said, I just can't take a guy that hadn't played football, a lot of people, not you, I know it's not you, and I know it's not me, and I know it's not people that are probably paying very close attention to it, but the people that just want to watch their football on a Sunday afternoon, like this middle that we've talked about that is disappearing, but I don't think that it's gone, that are going to say, man, I just, you know, he hasn't played in a while. And they'll go, oh, okay, yeah, he hasn't played in a while. And they'll move on. There won't be that passion for it the way that there is today on June 9th, the way that there was last week, the way that I hope that there is next week. I've seen it before. And I know an election's coming, and I know that people are going to be passionate about these issues as we get closer to an election. But we've seen it before. Can I just watch my football in peace, please? Can we just leave that over there? If I want that, I'll go over there. I just want to watch football games over here. I think the NFL would actively embrace that positioning.
Yes, and there's a way to do that without looking like a sellout to, you know, people's irrational discomforts or sometimes racism disguised as other rationales. And that is simply you just work with your partners not to broadcast it. This is real simple. There was never a big urgence to see the national anthem being sung before a football game ever before. I don't recall making sure I got home in time for the start of the national anthem. Maybe kickoff. But Travis, mm-hmm. Have you
no.
said, Susan, we got to get out of here. The national anthem is going to be sung any minute now.
The only time the national anthem is something that I'm moderately interested in as part of a sporting event is at the Super Bowl and whether it goes over or under on the prop bets. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Does it go over the 205 or does it go under the 205? And I don't mean that I don't care about the national anthem, but I'm just saying that it's not part of my regular viewing experience for sporting events.
No, of course not. In fact, some of our most memorable moments with the national anthem have to do with people who couldn't sing the national anthem. the Carl mm-hmm. Lewis's and the Roseanne's, whatever the hell Fergie did to the Port National Anthem during the All-Star weekend. You know? Those are the moments that stick out just as much as any. So let's stop pretending.
Ilse, do you ever do yoga online?
Online?
Yeah, like no, with a video?
I follow some Instagram accounts where they're doing yoga. Okay.
Well, I have a warning to everybody that does yoga online. I'll tell you what it is next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
You know what's so funny, Travis, is that when I close my eyes and I really think about like all the times I've actually wanted to hear the national anthem, Whitney Houston, Marvin Gaye comes to mind. But then after that, it's like a whole bunch of disasters. I don't think there's anybody that's been more disastrous than what Fergie did to the Port National Anthem during the NBA All-Star Weekend.
Jeez. I think this is the part where Draymond starts to lose it.
Yes. She's okay, sexified the national anthem.
I can't. Let's.
Wait. We have to wait for the money shot, Travis.
Your point is a good one, LZ. No. No. Yeah, I think that's enough, Jorge. I think the point has been made. That it's not. If we're talking about it, it's probably because something went wrong, as opposed to something going
exactly.
Yeah, has she recovered? Has she done anything since?
Apologized. Wait. Here's my third part.
Huh?
Huh?
That's usually the part where people go, woo, woo, all right, woo, and then go, huh? What was that? Man.
She sexified the national anthem. Poorly.
I tried to.
May I add?
She tried to do it like Marilyn Monroe did the birthday song for Kennedy.
Yeah, you know, that came off a little better. That the Marilyn
Monroe. Yeah, but it's not for the national anthem, probably. Not for the national anthem.
No, the audience, know the moment, know the time. All right, LZ, you ready?
Yes, sir.
If you are doing yoga online, or if somebody in your home is doing yoga online, you're going to want to make sure you know where the camera is pointed, because Chris Cuomo from CNN got caught naked in the background of his wife's yoga session that she was broadcasting on the internet. He's in the backyard, which we'll get to in a second. Just chilling, just hanging out back there while his wife is doing a little bit of yoga. So if you're going to make sure that you take your naked backyard stroll, let's make sure that everybody knows that the yoga camera is on.
I'm sorry. I'm just looking for the pictures. Hold on.
I'm looking at it. I'll send it to you right now.
I want all the pictures, Travis.
Let's start right here. When was the last time you walked through your backyard without any clothes on?
Ooh, I did just for the show. I went and got a grapefruit from the grapefruit tree.
You didn't have no shorts, no nothing?
Nope, no one can see.
No one's doing yoga in the house?
I don't think I've ever gone into my backyard
with
no clothes on. I might have ended up with no clothes on. But it wasn't like I didn't go that way.
That wasn't your intent at the start, at least.
No, it was not. Now, I'm not mad that it happened, but I'm just saying I didn't go out there with no clothes on.
I mean, but Chris Cuomo's very fit.
I'm assuming that. Yeah, that's why I'm looking for pictures. But I'm going to assume that whatever backyard he's in is a lot different than the backyard that I have, because The backyard I have right now is my patio. And if I were to do that, I probably wouldn't be on air anywhere else ever again.
Well, so I'm going to assume. It looks like a nice house. I mean, it's according to the story, he's in the Hamptons, and it looks to be heavily wooded. So it feels like from the outside.
What do you mean by that?
He's fairly concealed by the trees, LZ. But his wife is doing a video session in there, and he's very clearly in the background. And I can't help but think there's no way that's an accident, because you're not going out there to have your morning coffee like that if you don't know the camera is on.
Well, I mean, if he's just in his backyard hanging out, I mean, do you really think that, you know, he could check with his wife to see where she's going to start live streaming yoga? I think it's a complete accident.
Do you really?
I think it's a complete accident. Yes, I do. I believe it's a complete accident that, you know, he was out there just drinking coffee, and she just on her own just decided, okay, now I'm going to do this. Heard to them that could happen.
Before you go for the naked backyard stroll, though, don't you kind of take a look over your shoulder to see what's going on? And I was like, we good? We all right? Okay, I'm going to take my morning walk and see what's going on with the grass or the plants or whatever else it is that you're doing out there. I think you'd look over your shoulder.
Listen, I've never gone for a naked backyard stroll before, so I don't know what the mindset is. Personally, I would be looking for drones and everything else if I were to do that. But clearly, he's obviously have done this plenty of times before and didn't give it a second thought. I think a lot of people just in general just feel weird about being naked, period. And I think that's just part of the shock, is that people are wondering, why are you in your backyard naked? And it's like, well, why not?
Why not?
You know?
Well, I mean, hold on. I don't think it's unreasonable to be a little surprised, because I would be fairly shocked if my neighbors were walking around in their backyards naked. It would catch me by surprise. I'm not saying there's anything inherently wrong with it. It'd be a little shocking to know that I'm living around people that just like to hang out in the backyard without their clothes on.
But I think there's a difference between going out in the backyard where everyone can see and everyone knows that you're looking at each other versus I'm in a secluded area. Like this neighbor that caught him, it was a camera angle from a window in his own house. So I'm assuming wherever he's taking a stroll is, you know, very wooded and secluded. And, you know, he does it all the time. And there's no one who can accidentally see him. He's cool with it.
Clearly, he's cool with it. Clearly, he's fine. Todd Gurley took his physical and reportedly has passed his physical in Atlanta. Woo. And I'm glad for Todd Gurley. I'm glad that Todd Gurley is healthy. He's a great football player, and I'd like to see him continue to play great football, I think. But I'll say this. I do not want to watch Todd Gurley in an Atlanta Falcons uniform turn into Todd Gurley from 2 years ago. That'll break my heart. That if that's what happens, I'm going to be devastated, LZ.
Well, listen, I'm happy for Todd. I'm happy for Todd. I'm happy that he gets to start over. I'm happy that he's back in the state, in the area that he knows he was there in college. I hope he's healthy. I wish him well. I hope he makes it to the Hall of Fame. I have no ill will towards Todd Gurley.
None.
But if that dude goes to 1,500 yards and we're starting with a running game, I'm going to feel a certain kind of way about Les Snead and Sean McVay. I'm not going to feel a certain kind of way about Todd Gurley.
Right.
I'm going to be looking at those two dudes and wondering what had happened was what?
Well, that's the thing, right? We still don't know. We still don't have we have speculation. We can kind of try to read the tea leaves or read between the lines or whatever you want to say about it, but it never really said, okay, the reason Todd Gurley went from an MVP candidate to a guy is because of these two things or these three things or this one thing or whatever it is. But it's more of the unknown. And because if it was personal, if it was just a breakdown of communication, if it were something that could have been fixed with a conversation, then that's really hard to wrap your hands around, because what we saw a couple of years ago with Todd Gurley, you can't find that. I hope Akers comes in here for Florida State and has a great season. I hope he's phenomenal and he's with the Rams for a long time and scores a bunch of touchdowns and they win a bunch of games. What Todd Gurley was doing for them for a couple of years ago, we don't see it. That's why he was Todd Gurley. And if he starts doing it for someone else over a personal issue, that would be hard to deal with.
Yeah, that would be very hard to, because all of a sudden now, the person who I thought you were, I have to change my worldview of you. That doesn't mean I won't like you. That doesn't mean I won't respect you. That doesn't mean I still won't think you're a great coach. But it will certainly influence the next time there's a rift between you and the player. I'm going to be more apt to lean towards the player because if you let a personal beef interfere with the success of this team, then I got to rethink some things about you. Now, I'm holding out that this was strictly about money and the questionable status of his health. And not because somebody says something that somebody didn't like and then they spent their whole season fighting about it. I'm going to go with the former, not the latter.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. All right. The Drew Brees situation might have gotten someone else in hot water. We'll tell you who and what they said next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
So, LZ, Drew Brees had to apologize for his remarks about the flag. And the apology seemed sincere. At least the second and the third versions seemed sincere of that apology. This is kind of a new twist on this where somebody else is having to apologize for talking about Drew Brees and the apology that he issued. Peter King, who's covered the NFL for a long time, wrote in his column, and I'm just gonna read this verbatim so we can discuss it. As one person close to Brees told me, the social media rip jobs reminded him of Lord of the Flies. In that book, normal British boys get stranded on a desert island and have to fend for themselves, and they spiral into savagery to survive. Sounds about right. Okay, so that's what he wrote initially. He has subsequently gone back and removed it and apologized for what he said, saying that he needs to be more aware of long-term or long-time analogies. I'm removing the reference to Lord of the Flies upon hearing from so many who found it offensive. I apologize for using it. I understand why some are hurt by it. You should be. I'll be more conscious about the full meaning of analogies. Thank you for keeping me honest. That was Peter King after he wrote it and then removed it. Just very quickly, I think probably everybody at one point or another has read Lord of the Flies, but it's a book about kids that get stranded on a desert island and it descends into chaos and they start to kill each other and the hierarchy that arrives because they're left alone and they're scared and they're strong. And the book is violent and it's graphically violent. To compare the reaction to Drew Brees' comments from his teammates and other people around the league as savage is a really clumsy use of words at best, LZ. Do you buy that it just was an analogy that he did not think through all the way?
Yes, I do. I buy it was an analogy that he didn't think through all the way. But what I don't buy is the premise to begin with, which is that Drew Brees was this delicate flower that social media and other players and everyone jumped on and pulverized to death. That's not what happened. And while I don't think that he meant to correlate the response to racism to savagery, at least that's how I'm interpreting the analogy that he used with Lord of the Flies and the protesters, what I don't like is him trying to make Drew Brees any sort of victim at this moment in time. Offensive. The fact that he's going to try and say, poor Drew Brees, he's just getting beaten up by everyone. As we're trying to do some real damn changes in this country where people are dying in the streets and not being hashtagged like him, that's offensive. So I'm going to give Peter the benefit of the doubt in terms of not calling black people savages. But he still gets a zero from me for just even trying to say Drew Brees was somehow victimized in this.
Yeah, that's the part that is just really surprising to me, that that was the angle of all of this, that, hey, you know, Drew really took some heat for this. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And rightfully so, because what he said was exactly what gets said when people don't want to talk about why everybody was so pissed in the first place, that everybody is feeling a certain way in this particular case because of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery and all of the other ones. And it had come to this point where it exploded and the rage was palpable. And then you get that same old dumb argument about, well, what about the army? What about the military? What about the flag? We're not talking about that right now. So don't bring that here. And when he did that and his teammates exploded like, God, what don't you get about this? That's not savagery. That's being angry. That's being angry at somebody who just did it again, who's somebody who wasn't listening again, somebody who wanted to change the subject again. And they'd had it. They'd had enough. And they reacted passionately. They reacted emotionally. They acted with emotions that were pure and true. They might have been angry. They might have been absolutely outraged by what they were hearing. But it wasn't savagery. It was frustration. It was anger. It was all of these things. And to say, oh gosh, man, take it easy on this guy. He made a mistake. Let's not be so savage in our comments. It's like the choice of the word savage is bad to begin with. But then the characterization that somehow Drew Brees is the one that's been through some stuff through all this. Come on, Drew Brees is fine. Let me tell you right now, Drew Brees is fine. Okay, he's hopefully the emotion that Drew Brees is going through right now is embarrassment and some shame for getting it as wrong as he did. But ultimately, he's fine. He's wealthy. He has his job. He's healthy. And his teammates that did hit him very hard, rightfully so at the beginning, have allowed him to come back into the fold and say, all right, dude, we appreciate the most recent comments. Let's get back to work and let's go work together. Drew Brees is fine. He didn't get savaged by his teammates. He got called out by his teammates. And there's a mile of difference between those two things.
Absolutely, Travis. And listen, I really like Drew Brees. You know, I really appreciate all the philanthropic efforts, not just in Louisiana and New Orleans proper, but just, you know, nationally. Drew Brees has proven to be a really good guy. But good guys have blind spots. And having your blind spot called out doesn't automatically destroy everything that you've done in this space, but it just lets you know that we all still have work to do. That's not being victimized. That's being educated. That's not being savaged. That's being woke. He needs to be awoken. And from what I can tell, it happened. He now recognizes that either through his own calculus or blind spot, that mischaracterizing what people are protesting about is evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's evil. And he is interested in making amends. That's not being a victim. That's being a student of life.
Yeah, and look, I don't know Drew Brees at all, but like you said, LZ, having seen the videos that he put out, having seen the apologies that he's offered, I would bet that Drew Brees is willing to say right now, I wasn't savaged. They checked me. I was not treated unfairly. I had it dead wrong, and they called me on it, and now I know better, and I'm better off having gotten called out by these guys than I was had they been more, I don't even know the word, more delicate in their criticism of me. I'd be willing to bet that Drew Brees, whether he feels it or not, I can't say, but I bet you that's what he would say.
I would venture to say so, you know, because as I said, I like him and he's always shown to be like a really thoughtful and decent human being. Political, because as Keith had to point out, you know, QBs, they know how to do the, hey there, how you doing? Oh, yeah, I play golf, all about Tiger Woods. Yeah, he's not stupid. He knows how to play that game. But it's hard for me to take a guy who has done things like befriended Ellen DeGeneres in a sport that is, you know, some consider to still be highly homophobic and say, I'm okay with this. This is good. Like, I have a hard time believing that guy all of a sudden now is like seeing this scenario as one in which he's being victimized as opposed to an opportunity to learn and grow.
Crosstalk with George Sedano is coming up next. All right, George, so let's fast forward a couple of months. Let's say we get into August and maybe even September. Are we going to see Colin Kaepernick on an NFL roster, or is that just never going to change?
I think that you'd probably have to have Cam Newton on a roster first, right? I mean, as much as I want Colin Kaepernick on a roster, because I do still believe that he's one of the best 96 quarterbacks in the league or whatever, I think that the challenge becomes when you have a guy who's an MVP still sitting on the sidelines. You know what I mean? Like, I think that that would probably have to be addressed first. And look, some of that, they're not apples to apples, right? Cam Newton wants to be a starter, and there are no starting jobs available at the moment. So he probably could be on a bunch of rosters right now if he was willing to be a backup. And I don't blame him for not willing to be a backup, because he should be a starter in the NFL. But I would imagine that that would probably have to happen first.
Who do you think would be most apt to want to take the heat of signing Colin Kaepernick?
Seattle.
Assuming in your premise that Seattle?
Yep. Why? Yep. They were the team that was most linked to him in previous years. I feel like Pete Carroll is one of those guys that doesn't, I mean, I think that they're so insulated in the way they do business, and, you know, just that general area, I think will help, just because of the, look, much like here in mostly in Southern California or in Northern California, right? You have a more liberal leaning fan base. And I think that that stuff will help. I think that to me, that would be the place if I had to pick one, because they've just been interested in him in the past.
What's the significance of Roger Goodell not mentioning Kaepernick by name? Because to just say that it was coincidental or an oversight doesn't feel right. There was a conscious decision, because they said it, and I'm looking for my notes here, that we were wrong not to listen to our NFL players. That obviously was about Colin Kaepernick. Why not say his name?
My understanding is, and I don't know this specifically, this is just talking to people who know that league way better than I do, is that it has to do with the settlement. And I believe that it's just legalese at that point that he can't say his name. That's my understanding. I don't know how accurate that is, but that's what I've been told by multiple people.
So we get him on a roster, and all of a sudden we can say his name again. I mean, is that
well? Because I would imagine that would probably void some of the settlement, at least some of the terms of the settlement, not necessarily the finances.
You ready for a 48-game baseball season? Because that the latest one of 76 yes. games at 75%. You're down with 48 games, George. That's the equivalent of a 5-game NFL season.
Give me a sprint. Baseball is too long. If it were up to me, baseball would be 100 games, 120 games max. Like, give me more of a sprint. Make the games matter. That's the biggest problem with the sport. You know, people talk about the length of games. It's not any longer than a football game. The problem is, it doesn't have the action a football game has, and it doesn't have the importance of every football game.
So you're okay with a shortened season, but how short? Because right now, 40-some games is about 5 football games.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Like, just do it. Like, just see what it looks like, because my guess is it's going to be way more interesting, and there'll be way more variants. And I think that you'll have more fan bases into it than you would over 162 games. Look, last year the Pirates started off awesome in their first 50 games, and then they were a disaster for the next 110. So if you can get these teams that aren't normally into it, or fan bases that aren't normally into it because they're off to a hot start, or God forbid, one of the good teams like the Yankees or something get off to a slow start, that makes it more intriguing to me.
Well, think about last year. The Nationals got off to a terrible start. I mean, they were getting ready to fire Dave Martinez. Mm-hmm. The whole thing was a debacle, and then they kind of steadied it, and then they took off, and they end up winning the World Series. if we had a playoffs, if it was 48 games, I mean, you could end up having a playoffs where you've got the San Diego Padres and the Oakland A's and the Colorado Rockies, and we all would agree that none of those teams are the best teams in baseball because of that variance you're talking about. I don't hate the idea of shortening it from 162 to something far less than that, but a fraction that's roughly a third of the season in a sport that has the variance you're talking about, you're going to get some absolutely whack results in the postseason.
And that's fine. Like, it's a wacky year, man. Like, let's just deal with it. Let's go with it head on. And by the way, baseball's boring for the most part. The season is too long. The games are boring. Give us something that will be interesting. The best thing baseball has done over the last few years is the one-game playoff. I know people say, oh, you play 162 and it all rides on one. Yeah, tough luck. That's the way it works.
I don't mind the one-game playoff,
to get the
George.
Marlins.
I'm a Yankee fan, so I've never actually rooted for the Marlins, so it doesn't make a difference to me. I actually think Derek Jeter is a terrible owner, so which pains me to say as a Yankee fan.
I don't mind the one game playoff because we've played 6 months worth of baseball. If you couldn't find your way out of that, that's on you. But if we're playing such a small, because I, to your point, George, more excitement in the games, okay, great. But these games, they're still going to be baseball games. Guys are not going to manage these games all that differently. Players are not going to approach these games all that differently.
Oh, I disagree. I think there'll
what
come
would you
a
do differently?
I think there'll come a time where managers will have to be more aggressive. Hitters will have to press more, potentially. Like, if you're on a team, let's just use the Yankees as an example, okay? If the Yankees start, I don't know, 10 and 15, you don't think all of a sudden, like, people are going to be freaking out and there's not going to be headlines at what? You're nuts.
Because here's why. They're going to say, if they're 10 and 15 and they're cooked, right? And you've got another 20 games
to go. No, they're not cooked.
And the things
what if they're not cooked, though?
But if you need to start going and saying, okay, I'm going to run Gerrit Cole out there more often than I would otherwise, you're not going to do that. You're not going to risk your guys in a short, weird, goofy season to try to grab a weird, short, goofy season after I'm paying this guy $200 million over the next 10 years or whatever.
Maybe not with Gerrit Cole, but there's plenty of other guys, including an expanded roster that you can experiment with and do some stuff that you wouldn't do in a normal season.
The Sedano Show
it's
is next.
It's all garbage.
We will see you here 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Have a fantastic day, everybody.